the Empress and the English Doctor, How Catherine the Great Defied a Deadly Virus, written by Lucy Ward and read by Malk Williams. At 9 o'clock on a chill evening in October 1768, a carriage arrived at the gates of Wolfe House on the outskirts of St. Petersburg with an urgent summons. After weeks of secret preparations, the call had come at last from the Winter Palace, where the Empress Catherine II waited impatiently for her English doctor, Thomas Dimmesdale. Prepared but uneasy at the task ahead, Thomas climbed quickly into the coach with his son Nathaniel, a medical student. Nathaniel carried a sleeping child, a 6-year-old boy named Alexander, small for his age, and swaddled in a fur against the autumn cold and the beginnings of a fever. Leaving the guarded gates of Wolfe House, a merchant summer residence requisitioned as an isolation hospital, the trio sped through lanes lit by an almost full moon towards the river a short distance to the south. The wide grey waters of the Neva were not yet frozen, and the coach crossed over a pontoon bridge, then made its way to the rear of the Winter Palace, away from the bustle of the embankment. Drawing up as agreed at a gate close to the grand facades of Milyonaya Street, the two doctors and the boy were ushered quickly up a back staircase. At the top waited Baron Alexander Cherkasov, the Cambridge-educated president of the St. Petersburg Medical College, who would act as interpreter. As they hurried through richly decorated passages to the appointed room, Thomas had reason for trepidation. Over decades of experience, the 56-year-old physician had refined the practice of smallpox inoculation, deliberately infecting patients with a small, controlled dose of the deadly virus itself to give them future immunity against the brutal disease. His landmark treatise explaining his methods, published just a year previously in 1767, was already in its fourth edition, its influence stretching across Europe and confirming England's place as the global centre of expertise for the preventative treatment. Yet despite his flawless record of thousands of successful inoculations, from wealthy aristocrats paying handsome sums to the poorest foundlings he immunised for free, Thomas knew the stakes were now at their highest. Not only did his own reputation hang in the balance, so too did that of the medical procedure he firmly believed could counter one of the greatest threats to human health ever known. If disaster struck, and his Russian test cases at Wolfe House had produced disturbingly erratic results, the name of science itself would be tainted, to the benefit of prejudice and superstition.